The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, brought to you by DraftKings. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke, Frank Schwab from Yahoo on the NFL Draft, and our own Stormy Bonnetonian moments talking UFL.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but the XFL and the USFL, they got together and they said, let's merge.
I did know that. Yeah. I didn't know they were sticking with conferences, though. Like, isn't one conference the XFL conference and one the USFL conference? And you're maybe making a face now that like,
No, you're completely right. Oh, okay, Stormy will clarify that.
That doesn't feel very unified to me, right? If you were going to unify, you shouldn't keep yourself separated like that.
No, very good point. We get tweets, Master of Puppets. Hey, Gil, great idea here. You let me buy into your Cleveland play. If it wins, you share the sushi spot. If it were to lose, I'll pay half your bet. Oh, I see what he did there. Steven Vegas, last year I won the same March-April bet with the Rays, who, if you recall, started 13-0. I got them at 14-1. Turned out to be fairly easy, except for the Pirates, who shockingly kept pace. This year is much more of a sweat. Let's get it. You got it, man. And then Chance Copperpot said, it's Friday morning, and I'm trying to decide what's better. This weekend, Taylor Swift dropping a double album or Kelly perfectly referencing Mac on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm going with Kelly. Insulin and chimichangas, baby.
Boom. Let's go.
Kelly Bidlin down 28 LBs. And A. Brown, I envision the next. This is such a great numbers game knowledge right here. I envision the next Wegovy commercial starring an ecstatic Kelly Bidlin dancing down the strip, singing the praises of the little pill. Imagine the escalator backups filming would cause as he sashays across the pedestrian overpass. So many little nuggets in there.
Then James and Miles can tell me I'm overacting the entire time.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is the co-host of the Lombardi Line, along with the great Michael Lombardi, and of course, sideline reporter for the UFL. The world is just keeping her down. The sky is the limit, and it will happen. It's our own Stormy Bonnetoni. How you doing, Stormy? Courtesy, by the way, of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing?
I appreciate you guys. This is so fun. Like, I'll just sit here and listen to you guys go back and forth. This is great.
So can we get a sense of your schedule? Do you travel every Friday to do this?
Yep. That's what I'm doing right now. Travel every Friday, or if my game is like a Sunday night, which I've had a couple of those so far, then I'll leave on Saturday. But pretty much, yeah, I do Monday through Friday on the Lombardi Line, and then I'll head out Friday afternoon, Friday evening for whatever city that I'm randomly sent to. So it's nice that I can actually get the full Monday through Friday versus college football season, where the games can be Saturday morning, let's say, and I have in-person meetings on Fridays, so then I have to come back from my Saturday game and work a 7 a.m. Sunday morning show. So this schedule is actually way easier than college football.
Wow. Just us talking here, Stormy. Nobody's listening. Do you get tired of the travel?
I think that because I have scoliosis, my back gets tired of sitting in plane seats all the time. But no, the travel itself, not at all. I actually really enjoy it. And I love that at VSiN, we have the little combination of I get to do the studio work and I get to have fun in a home base. And then I get to explore some new cities on the weekend.
All right. So let's talk some UFL. First of all, Kelly's right, right? One division is USFL and one's XFL.
Correct. Yes. Although I do think it's a little bit criminal that in the USFL conference, they still have the Houston Roughnecks instead of maintaining the USFL Houston Gamblers, considering that the UFL does prioritize that we include talking about gambling in our broadcast. And that's something that they like to use to sell the league. That just a real missed opportunity there in my brain.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But now you get to go. Gotta watch show. Gotta get a Roughneck. You know about that? What do you know about that? Nothing? Okay. But you're right. The Houston Gamblers, because they did keep Michigan Panthers and they did keep Birmingham Stallions, right? So why they decided to go different on that? That's interesting. And to what extent have you, Stormy, personally sort of nudged them towards gambling?
Honestly, I think a big reason why I was selected for the project is because they view it as something that's important and something that they want to grow and something they hope can help get more eyeballs on the product. Because obviously it's not the NFL, it's not college football, it's a different entity, it's a different thing. And they have to have their different things that they can include in the league to get more people interested and invested in it. And I love being a part of it. You guys know I geek out about it.
Yeah.
Talking about live betting opportunities throughout the broadcast is something I can honestly say I never imagined doing on a national football broadcast. But here we are, and I love every second of it. And it's been fun for me to kind of share that knowledge with a lot of the people on my crew specifically that aren't usually accustomed to that.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, we're three games into a 10-game schedule. And before we get into your thoughts on the futures market and the games this weekend, what is a rule difference between this and the NFL that a person landing on it this weekend would be like, oh, that's kind of cool?
Well, considering that the Eagles have submitted an application at the owners' meetings to have a 4th and 20 in the game instead of a converted onside kick, we have a 4th and 12. I do think that it was a little bit better personally last year when they had it be a 4th and 15. I think that the 4th and 12 is maybe a touch too easy, as we've seen two attempts so far, and both of them have been successful and led to that team winning, which is interesting, right? Because these games are never really over until they're over because of that opportunity. That's one that definitely stands out. And the point after touchdown is a really big one too. They don't kick extra point. There's no PATs like that. You can go for one, you can go for 2 points, or you can go from 3 points out,
yeah.
Which for us, from a betting perspective too, is really different. We don't have key numbers like we're used to seeing in the NFL. You're not like doing a teaser and you're like, I really need to get through the 7 or get through the 3. We don't have enough sample size of what those numbers might be at this point. And because the scoring structure is a little bit different, it's a little more free flowing.
I love that extra point rule. You may remember this, Kelly, from a couple years ago. Stevie Luckbach Fezzik won a bet,
yeah,
because the team converted a 9-point, you know, play basically with a 3-point extra point. And of course, we're like, oh, the old 9-point comeback, on the final possession. Okay, so let's go to
Hold on, guys. I lost a bet last week,
yeah,
because the team that I bet in Arlington was up 10 with 2 minutes to go. The DC Defenders score. They convert a 2-point conversion. They get the 4th and 12 and kick a walk-off field goal to win the game. And I lose Arlington money line by 1 because of that in 2 minutes. I'm losing my mind.
Do you throw a tantrum on air, Stormy? Because this is what we would tune in for. Do you throw a tantrum on air when that happens?
Fortunately, that was not my game, so I reined it in professionally for my own game. But at my hotel room the night before, yes, I was. There were a lot of expletives being thrown.
Okay, so the futures market, Birmingham, which is the only undefeated team through three games, they're 3-0. The Birmingham Stallions, they're +140. They're the short shot to win this. St. Louis Battlehawks are 2-1. They are +250, all the way down to the Roughnecks, who are 35-1. They are the long shot. Is there value here on any team?
I think that there could be a number of places. I will say this is probably the last week that you're going to see a plus money price on Birmingham. They're the two-time defending USFL champions. You mentioned 3-0 straight up ATS. All three of their games have been won by 7 or more points, two of them by 13 or more. They're just looking like a juggernaut. I joked the other day, I was like, I think they're Scottie Scheffler. Just price them at whatever, because you can, because they're just going to keep winning. They're ridiculous and they've got it together. As far as like other teams on the board, I think that some of these odds are a little bit misleading. Like the Battlehawks are 2-1, but are they really that good? I don't know. AJ McCarron and that offense, when they're clicking, they're pretty solid, but defensively, there's really not a whole lot there. The Defenders were the best team in the XFL a year ago, and they have looked completely off. They should have lost that game to Arlington. They were outgained by like 160 yards. And I don't need to rehash what happened in the last 2 minutes, but like a lot of these teams that are at the top of the odds board, I don't have a ton of faith in really being a team that is the team to beat per se. So I have no problem looking a little bit farther down. And I know Arlington's 0-3, but 22-1, I wouldn't mind a little bit of a sprinkle on that, because there's a lot of runway left here this season, honestly.
A little sprinkle on the Arlington Renegades.
Just a sprinkle. But I mean, Birmingham, like I said, +140. I don't know how long they're going to be a plus money price, because they're just going to barrel through this league.
Yeah, I was watching a bit of them last week. They have the rolling with the old dual quarterback system, right, Stormy, of Adrian Martinez and Matt Corral on the team. I was like, hey, those are two names I recognize, and they're both pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, they look strong.
Okay.
Yeah. Adrian Martinez had like 400 total yards the other day, and then they're going to shake things up and I think start Matt Corral this week, at least based on the depth chart I saw come out. They're that good. They can just do that.
So guys we recognize playing quarterback in the UFL. All right, so let's talk about a few of the games this weekend. We have three tomorrow, one on Sunday. St. Louis, the aforementioned Battle Hawks, 6.5-point favorites against the Memphis Showboats, another carryover name from past football leagues. The Stallions, 9.5-point favorites over the Defenders at home. Michigan is a 1-point favorite at San Antonio, the Brahmas of San Antonio. And then Sunday, the Renegades and the Roughnecks. Oh, something's got to give at the bottom of the UFL. The Renegades are 2.5-point favorites. Any thoughts on any of these?
I love the Renegades, as you can tell by everything that I've said throughout the course of this conversation. Those teams are both 0-3, but not created equal. So I have no problem laying the 2.5 with the Renegades there. I think the Roughnecks are the worst team in the league. I do lean the Panthers plus the one or money line in San Antonio. The Brahmas, their starting quarterback, Chase Garbers, who led the league in completion percentage, touchdown passes. He was injured last week. He's not going to be available largely the rest of the season. So I think this could be a good bounce back spot for Michigan. Birmingham's got bet up too much for me. It's opened 8 and now you just said 9.5. But guys, in the NFL postseason, I was crushing it with same game teasers. And I know that those are frowned upon, teasing totals and whatnot, but I would not hate a same game teaser in Defenders Birmingham. Bring the Stallions down and go over 40.5, whatever the number would be there. Same game teaser on Defenders and Stallions. I'm all in.
Does I would not hate mean you would bet it? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's saying the quiet thing out loud.
Gotcha. So, totally understand. Stormy, we appreciate you making the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Stormy Bonatoni, you too. She, of course, the co-host of the Lombardi Line every weekday here at the network at 1 p.m. with Michael Lombardi. And, of course, she does the UFL sidelines. You know how I always say Ben Wilson is going to be the most famous person ever at VSiN? Stormy is already the most famous person at VSiN.
Not if he keeps golfing with Nick all day.
That's true. We'll come back. NFL Draft next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know what I do every morning, Kelly? I wake up and I go to VSiN.com just to see what's up there.
That's a great place to start your day.
Because it's beautiful. Adam Burke, who is, of course, does everything on the website, he's talking NHL playoffs first round series previews and predictions. How about that?
Skating tripod.
That's right. It's his Twitter handle. You're right. That's tripods plural, by the way. NHL playoff betting concepts with Steve Mackinnon. So a real primer on the NHL. And of course, the same for the NBA. First round series betting trends from Steve Mackinnon. Also JVT's thoughts. Zach Cohen on the NBA. Everybody's in on the NBA. Check it out at vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there on the website. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. You know what's starting to bother me? I don't know if I've said this on the air before. Certain things with the English language. Well, first of all, let me just say this. As it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, no one likes an English teacher. So already I've...
Well, no, please continue.
Already full regret.
I tweeted one out yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I don't know the difference between... And I got a couple of these responses. It's basically the elevation altitude things
right.
Where it's like nobody even really cares that much anymore.
No one cares.
We're like, okay, so I'm watching RBC Heritage and they've got a sound.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm like, what's the difference between a bay and a sound? And then I go and Google it and I'm like, well, now there's four other words that I've never even heard before.
A fjord and a bite.
Yeah, that was really, when I sent it to you. And I'm like,
that's great.
Like, do we really need like a fifth definition to the word sound?
My thing is, you know, like people who, instead of saying supposedly, they say supposedly. Or people, instead of saying forward, say forward, right? Like stuff like that bothers me. So the latest one like that is... When did we all decide that the word important is pronounced with a D, important? Have you noticed that? Everybody pronounces it that way now. I did not get the memo. It's very important. Seriously, keep an eye out for it.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has no such English problems. He just wants to talk NFL draft with us. From Yahoo, it's Frank Schwab, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Frank?
I just want to hear you yell at the clouds more, Gil. That was impressive. Okay, boomer. I'm a boomer, but that took the cake.
I am not a boomer, just for definition's sake. I am not a boomer.
Get off his lawn, though.
That's right. I am a Larry David get off my lawn kind of guy. Okay, let us begin with, I want to start with two questions on the NFL draft. The first is the question that I ask everybody, which is, what do you think you know for sure? Let's start there.
Nothing. Like, I really like, okay, Caleb's going number one. We knew that. We went through our phase earlier this offseason where it's like, Drake May might be number one. No, it's always been Caleb. But after that, I don't even know what the Commanders do at number two. I wonder your thoughts on that, because being a Washington fan, I just wonder what you think they should do, what they will do, because you hear smoke coming out of everywhere. It's like Drake May suddenly getting trashed. What's that all about? He's really the only quarterback, as my coworker Charles McDonald pointed out. He's the only quarterback getting any criticism this draft cycle. So I wonder if that's completely all smoke with Drake May. You hear some J.J. McCarthy stuff that Washington might have him as their quarterback too on their board. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, heck of a player. I don't know what Washington's going to do at number two. So how can I be confident about anything else? I will say the one thing I am confident with, this will set obviously a record for offensive players in the first round. It's 19. I think it could blow past that too. You see 21 and a half out there for offensive players. I think we could get to like 24. You start doing the math, 12 offensive linemen could go in the first round. I think 6 quarterbacks could go in the first round. We all know about the receivers, one of the tight ends. Like, you just start doing the math on the offensive side, and then you start doing the math on the defensive side. You say, I think 21 and a half over that. It sounds pretty good to me as far as taking the offensive players.
By the way, I started this show with a Jaden Daniels Washington Commodores talk, which is I didn't understand the betting movement. I mean, I understand the elements that created it, supposedly, right? I won't go through it again, but I bet this morning, I bet Jaden Daniels -125 to go number two, because I think in the end, the ultimate piece that most people aren't saying, which I just think is a human thing, which is, I think Adam Peters in his head, even if he doesn't say it out loud, is going to be like, if I fail here, better to fail with Jaden Daniels than to fail with Drake May.
And I agree with that. It sounds weird to say, but it's a safe pick. He's the Heisman guy. Yep. He's obviously electric. And you know what? I was on in New Orleans a few weeks ago, and I was posed the question of, why do we think Caleb Williams is that much better than Jaden Daniels? And honestly, I didn't have a great answer. Like, if you look at it, like, Caleb's awesome, obviously, but Jaden was great last year. I mean, you talk about a guy had what, 40 some touchdowns total. He can run it. He obviously makes great plays in the passing game. He's accurate. I like everything about Jaden Daniels. I think he's a very, very good player. I worry a little bit about him getting hurt. Maybe I'm shook a little bit by Anthony Richardson getting knocked out of every game. And he's more of a slender guy than Anthony, obviously. But I mean, there's that piece of it when it comes to Jaden Daniels. But as a player, there's not much to nitpick there. He is a heck of a player, heck of an athlete. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. But, you know, not all these guys are going to hit, and it's hard to, you know, pick and choose and say, oh, that guy's going to bust. You just do the best you can if you're Adam Peters. And I think the best they could do is take a Jaden Daniels number two.
Yeah, there's no talent evaluation in what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about what I think he'll do draft-wise, and right. I think that's the way to go. Let's go back to what you were saying about quarterbacks, though. Because I think you're right, like, it's going to be a big offensive draft, certainly up at the top. But what are you hearing now? Like, if I put it to you right now, I said you must decide what's going to happen, Frank, with the quarterbacks beyond May. So where does J.J. McCarthy end up? Will either Bo Nix or Michael Penix, the big thing for bettors, obviously, is that prop at 4.5 with quarterbacks. Will Penix and or Nix actually go in the first round? What's your instinct?
Absolutely, yes, because you look at the teams that need a quarterback, and you have the Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders all sitting out there, right? And we all know quarterbacks going with the top 3 picks. Like, that's going to happen. And then you get McCarthy's going to go somewhere, too, in the top 10, probably 5. I think the Vikings move up. There's a reason they got the extra first-round pick. We all know. It's not a big secret. I think Vikings move up either to 4 or to 5. They get J.J. McCarthy. And then a game of chicken starts. Do the Broncos really like Bo Nix? Where does Michael Penix go? I was surprised to see the odds that Penix is now thought of ahead of Nix. I've always thought Nix would go ahead of Penix. I actually punched a ticket on that. I think Nix is just a better pro prospect. We'll see if I'm wrong there. But I think 6 quarterbacks go in the first round just because of the needs, the desperation, and the fifth-year option, too. We talk about this every year. There's such a value, especially with quarterback salaries, of having that fifth-year option. If you are a team that needs a quarterback and one of those picks late in the round, Kansas City at 32, whatever, wherever we're talking about, you say, if we can move up from an early pick in a second round to the last pick of the first round, grab a quarterback, we have the fifth year of contract control we've seen with Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. It's important to have that from a first round pick. You'd rather have that than a guy from the second, third round where you only get 4 years and then you got to play the franchise tag game. So I do think that The prop on quarterbacks goes over just because of the desperation at the position with some of these teams.
Interesting. Okay. Well, for my bet's sake, because I went under, I hope you're mistaken, but this is why I want to get different perspectives on this.
And it could be, Gil, we know nothing. We all know. We know nothing about this. Like, draft surprises us every single year. I'm just leaning into the whole idea that the Broncos and Raiders, well, what are you going to do? You going to say Jared Stidham and Aiden O'Connell are starters opening day? No, you want to sell your fans on something better than that.
Handicap this for me as best as you can. So let's say Caleb Williams goes to Chicago, Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. You have New England at 3, you have Arizona at 4, and you have Los Angeles Chargers at 5, all of which have been rumored at different times by different people to consider trades, right? The Patriots, maybe they don't like Drake May, maybe they trade and they do what you just said, which is get a quarterback early second round because they have one of the top picks in the second round, obviously, too. Obviously, Arizona, who, you know, most mock drafts have them staring Marvin Harrison Jr. in the face, but maybe they're open for business. Some have said they are. Chargers, even though Jim Harbaugh out loud has said we want to start with a solid franchise offensive lineman that can be here for a decade plus, but many a mock has them trading out to a Minnesota or some other quarterback hungry team. Which of those three is the most likely, in your opinion, to stand pat? Which is the most likely to make a trade?
I think the Patriots are taking a quarterback. I don't see how you don't. Like, you got to talk yourself. I don't want to say talk yourself into because that's bad. But Drake May is a good prospect in my mind. Even J.J. McCarthy brings some things to the table. I don't know how the Patriots trade out. I know they need a lot of guys. They're very talent poor right now. But you start with a quarterback. I think I'd be shocked if they move out of 3. It could happen, I suppose. I wouldn't do it. I take a quarterback at 3 because you don't want to be on that hamster wheel forever. Where it gets interesting to me is 4. I'm sorry, I don't trade the Marvin Harrison pick. I if I'm Arizona, I'm not. Yeah, you can get an extra first round pick out of Minnesota, whatever. No, Marvin Harrison to me is a gold jacket type of prospect. Like, I love him. I think he is as good of a receiver as I've ever seen in college. I draft him, and I just that's good. I feel great about my draft. But they could trade down. I think they're going to be enticed by that extra first-round pick Minnesota's dangling out there. And then I think, that why wouldn't the Chargers trade down? If it gets to a point where J.J. McCarthy's out there and the Vikings and Broncos and maybe even the Raiders are on the phone with you saying, let's trade down. The Chargers need dudes. Like, they really do. I know Joe Alt is a really, really good tackle and fits their need. But why, if you're the Chargers, would you not trade down? So I think the most likely to trade down is the Chargers. Least likely is the Patriots. And I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. But me personally, I draft Marvin Harrison because I think he is phenomenal.
Who's the second wideout? One name answer. Second wideout drafted behind him will be?
Neighbors. I just think his playmaking is just there for him.
Okay. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it, guys.
NFL draft 6 days away. Next Thursday, first round. Cannot wait. Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke on the other side. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. It is limited. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits.
Splitting bets.
Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Make smarter bets today. Why so glum?
Oh, you just but you made me pull up the golf leaderboard. It's no bueno early.
Oh, I was just gonna ask you. So right now at the RBC Heritage, which Bill Krakenberger is present for. How about Crack without the Kangol yesterday? It still tripped me out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I had to look at him for like an extra beat. I'm like, oh, that's Crack. Tom Hoagie, who is 5-under for the day, as is Patrick Cantlay. Both are 5-under for the day. Hoagie through 12, Cantlay through 10. They are in a three-way tie with Seamus Power.
Oh, Seamus.
Hi, Seamus. He's 3-under for the day. He's also 9-under for the tournament. JT Poston, who was the first, was he the first round leader, JT Poston? He's he's one stroke back. He has yet to tee off. And Colin Morikawa amongst the group that is two back. Ludwig Ober among the group that is three back. And Scottie Scheffler has yet to really make a mark here. Where is Scottie Scheffler? He is at 2-under, so he is currently 7 back. Who do you have here?
Yeah, he hasn't teed off yet. He was, man, watching him post round yesterday. It is... Yeah, I won the Masters. We got a baby coming up. This was always in the plan to play this tournament. You know, it's just another Wednesday, just another Thursday for Scotty Scheffler. It's just incredible. I've got some
PGA
guys.
The PGA Tour must be thrilled.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Cameron Young, he hasn't teed off yet. I do have a bet on him. He's 4 under. He hasn't teed off. Siwoo Kim, 3 under. Didn't cash that first round leader top 10 yesterday. That was a little upsetting. Just got bumped out. But yeah, I mean, Patrick Cantlay's played this tournament incredibly well over the years. Tom Hoagie, one of the best iron players in the game. He can heat up and have rounds like this. This is why Will Hill loves betting on him. Tom Hoagie, his favorite
golfer. He's a Tom Hoagie guy?
Yeah.
Really? Rory's 4 back. Hey, Rory alert. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if he has his bet on this PGA tournament, but he's more likely perhaps to have one on the LPGA tournament. It's our buddy Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, somewhere in Southern California, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason, was happening?
Not much. How's it going?
Doing very well. Are you on this Nelly Korda roll, by the way, at all?
No, I don't. I mean, she's always a favorite, so I'm not usually backing her at like 7-1 or whatever she is every week. She's been real short the last couple.
Currently 2 back. 2 back of Lauren Coughlin, who has yet to tee off today. But Nelly Korda, 4 under for the tournament, 2 back of the lead here. And I'm just saying, what is this? She's going for her 5th straight win at the Chevron Championship in the Woodlands, Texas. Nelly Korda, sister of Sebastian Korda, Kelly. Not sure if you're aware of that. Or the other way around. He's brother of Nelly Korda. So you don't partake in this at all. Are you ever tempted?
No.
The price just isn't right for you. Okay. Gotcha.
It's the price thing, yeah. Who wins 4 tournaments in a row?
Are you off the Rose Zhang bandwagon?
No, I mean, I bet her this week. I'm still going to bet her. I looked at the leaderboard. I had to scroll down quite a ways to find her, so I'm not really invested in the women's golf this weekend, so to speak.
She is 2 over for the tournament. 8 back of the lead is Rose Zhang, the Stanford product. Okay. Baseball, what do you got today? Full day of baseball. We got some day games too, right?
Yeah, you know, yesterday was actually really nice with the day slate, and then there was nothing in the evening. That was really weird.
The Giants,
I went to sleep early.
The Giants were a standalone game. Hope everybody got to see Logan Webb. Is he not worth a Cy Young play?
I mean, he's like 10-1. I don't know if there's any value there, but he's definitely a dude.
He is definitely a dude. He is a victim of very little run support every single time. The Giants waited till the 8th inning to actually give him run support yesterday. But that's typically the bugaboo with him. No fault of his own. But what a workhorse. So to me, that's as good a bet as any right now. What did you bet today?
Brewers -111 and Texas Rangers +181 against the Atlanta Braves.
What you're thinking there? Just do you like the pitching matchups in both?
Yeah, it's just a pretty high price for the Rangers. They're not that bad. I mean, Braves aren't that good. It's one of the two. It's just a nice price on a good team. I almost bet the Rockies, and then I was like, I'm not gonna spend my hard earned dollars on the Colorado Rockies. Just not doing it. Even if it's a good bet, don't care. Not doing it.
I remember you and I having these conversations as long ago as maybe 5 years ago, where the model would show an edge on like a really crappy team in baseball. And your comment I thought was great, which was, I could make this bet because my model tells me to. That is tremendous value. But do I really want to spend the next 3 or 4? And I remember at that time, it was probably like 4 hours of my life sweating this thing. I thought that was
it.
Yeah.
And you always got to keep in mind too, like, for example, I could find some good bets this weekend. I could find some good bets every day and just sit around and bet props. I could do anything I want betting wise. But if Naz Reid wins the 6th man of the year, like, I'm going to win more on that than my expected win would be on baseball. Even if you were to do like, you know, two times what my expected win. You know, like if I even have a very good variance, positive variance week,
right?
Like the better play is just sit here and wait for them to announce the 6th man. And if I win, you know, I'm going to Costa Rica next week. Like I said, last show, I actually have a new job lined up down there. I'm going to be the new head of DEI for a Costa Rican sports book. It's it's a pretty great, great job. I saw DEI guys get paid more than traders, so I applied for that. It's pretty exciting, but
it's Jason Weingarten humor, everybody, is what that just was.
That's not humor. It's real. I have a new job.
Yeah, but
DEI head.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to go to Costa Rica and sit on this Nas Reed bet. And if it doesn't win, I guess I'll come back. And if it does, I'll just stay in Costa Rica, maybe.
Well, if the early indication of known awards bets, so, right, some people have revealed what they have voted for, you should be good. It looks like Nas Reed is going to get six man of the year.
Yeah, well, you know, Damar Hamlin died on the field and came back to life and played in the NFL game. And you should be good. You know,
yep.
I mean, I don't buy into should being good anymore. I can't trust voters anymore in these things. It's very painful, actually.
Yeah. Well, sadly, Victor Wembanyama will not, by that same sort of snapshot of votes, Victor Wembanyama is not going to be the defensive player of the year. But Nas Reed is almost unanimous from what we've seen
from
so
most
far.
From what I've seen. Also, how does the NBA stuff leak more like this every year and the NFL stuff we never see?
Because I think in the NFL's case, they make a point to tell those guys not to say anything. Right, like Aaron Schatz. Go ahead.
Did it feel like everybody had a Wembanyama ticket this year? Like everybody you know had one? Because everybody I know had one. I don't know how he's not the winner. I don't either. I'm confused.
I don't either. It is the weirdest. I mean, let's just say he loses, right? It's the weirdest groupthink obstinance I think I remember on anything. Like these guys are just like, we're voting for Gobert. We're going to give Wembanyama this award 10 years in a row after this, but over my dead body, am I going to vote for him this year? It just feels that way.
I mean, I think the comp would be the NBA voters just a couple years ago with Nikola Jokic, three MVPs in a row.
Oh, last year you're talking about. We refused to give it to Nikola Jokic. Yeah. It's an interesting, and by interesting, I mean, I'm being mild about it, an interesting dynamic. But yeah, you know, so Nas Reed, we get it. So Nas Reed is the biggest thing going for you right now. Would you care to share what you would, just a generality of what you might profit from this?
Probably about 40,000-50,000 bucks, somewhere in between there when you take off all the Wembanyama losers on the defensive stuff. So,
all right.
Decent amount.
Jason, there's going to be people listening to this who now, because you pushed back on this, are going to say, wait, did Jason really get the DEI job at one of these Costa Rica sports books? Could you please set the record straight?
No, I'm going down to Costa Rica for some other stuff.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm not the DEI head. I wish I was. They get paid way more than traders. So
Jason just wedging in a little politics into the it's an apolitical show, Jason. By the way, are you excited to vote apolitically speaking, are you excited to bet elections this year?
No, I have no. I'm scared. I'm terrified to bet this election. This seems like. I don't know. I don't want to put my money on it is what I'm saying. I'm interested in what's going to happen, but I don't see myself betting tons of money. I'm not confident one way or the other what's going to happen in November. I'm not confident what's going to happen in the first half of the baseball season.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, headed to Costa Rica and rooting for Nas Reed. One of the great staples of a numbers game through the years is election betting. Apolitically speaking, we enjoy it very much, and we'll see if Jason's mind changes as that approaches. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Should be a fun weekend of baseball and everything.
Yes, it should be. Ho-ho. Go Guardians. Let's go. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it's Jason Weingarten. We'll come back. Our final thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Of course, the elimination games tonight and then the first round series tipping off tomorrow. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Playoffs?
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game, proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Canada at the D. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. That's you I'm talking about. Best in the game. Jamie Leva. Or is it Jaime Leva? I think it's Jamie Leva. Gil with the MC Light reference. Fist pound. You missed the MC Light reference.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch out. Gotta hit him or up next.
I mean, like, I know the line, but yeah, it's another one where Gil and I sit here all day, 5 days a week, with Gil being like, hey, you know what song this is? I'm like, I've heard it a million times. I don't know who did it.
MC Light, by the way, last person to really need a roughneck, if you know what I mean. Mm. Buddhist man, I took a picture of the partially obscured QR code on the live broadcast keep out sign, and this is where it led me. The sign of the time, Morris Day and Jerome on the time. Nemesis Enforcer, can't speak about mispronounced words being from the DMV without recognizing shrimp. More commonly known as shrimp. The DMV one, talking District Maryland, Virginia, is actually District Maryland and Virginia. People from the DMV, we say Merlin and everybody.
Oh, okay. You know what? Since we're on this topic,
yeah.
Sort of. Are you a fan of the, what is it, the hard shell crabs? Hard shell or soft shell? What are they famous for?
Oh, Maryland crabs? Yeah. Oh, the greatest crabs in the world.
Soft shell or hard shell? Hard shell. Okay. Yeah. Are you a fan of those?
Oh, my God. I've lived in two great crab places. Maryland, right? D.C., Maryland, Virginia. And San Francisco, which is Dungeness crabs. Yeah. Dungeness crabs are these big crabs.
Right.
And then people like swear by like Joe's crabs, which are like flakier ones. Maryland crabs all day long. Give me a summer day with newspaper on a table and go at it.
No, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Any food that I got to work that hard for.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
To get so little meat that comes out of those crab legs.
Bro, you have no idea.
I know this is an unpopular take. I don't like those at all. I don't like them. Don't put me at a table for an hour and a half. I got to hammer away and chisel away at a crab just to get a little bite of meat at.
It's the experience.
Now, Alaskan king crab, now we're talking.
Oh, no. You got to grow up with it. It's like outdoors, humid, mosquitoes biting you. Crab.
I had a great time with it when I was like 10 visiting there. Yes, you're right. As an adult,
Perhaps you would like our other delicacy from the Mid-Atlantic, which is crab cakes.
Those are delicious.
Okay.
Crab cakes and football. It's what
Maryland
does.
Crab cakes and football. Crab cakes and football. Is that wedding planners? Is that what that was?
Wedding crashers.
That was the best. Wedding crashers. That was the best. Yeah, wedding planners is J-Lo.
Julia Roberts or wedding planner?
I think J-Lo.
I think you did the sequel to it.
Oh, I don't know. Wedding crashers. Yeah, that was the best line. That was the only thing I remember from that movie. Crab cakes and football.
From some random actor you'd never see again.
Calum Betts. C-O-U-P-O-N annoys me as well, he says. To me, it's not coupon. I think it should be pronounced coupon. Oh, well, tomato, tomato, he says.
Oh, yeah, J-Lo and Matthew McConaughey when he was stuck in his rom-com days, where he like, oh, that's all he could do is rom-coms.
Isn't that the big thing of his career, where he's like, no more rom-coms? Evan Klein. Me. Man, Schwab sounds a lot different from that trivia show on ESPN. Uses Google. Me to me. Well, that makes sense because it's not the same person. That's true. One is Frank and one is Howie.
I'm going to cut you some slack anyways, but both actually get referenced a fair amount on this show.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, Frank's on often.
Crack's good friend is Howie Schwab. And then Kyle, dedicated listener, and while it's not sports related, I'm hoping somebody mentions fish at the Sphere and the scene in Vegas while they're in town. Can I be honest with you there, Kyle? Kyle, yeah. The Sphere, which I really do want to go to and experience.
Is this the first weekend for Fish? It might be. I think they just started.
So far, they've had U2 and Fish as residency type things. I'm really not like that down to go to either.
Of course it is, because 420's this weekend. Of course it is.
Oh, there you go.
I talked about it on the show. I went to U2, greatest concert experience of my life. I'm not even that big of a fan of U2. Fish is the exact same way. Yeah. I'm going to go at some point.
You give me a ticket, I'll go.
Yeah, I'm going at some point. That will be an incredible show to watch. I'm not rushing to get out there. They're not my favorite music in the world, but I bet it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Boys to Men at the Cosmo now with Robin Thicke coming up later this month.
Was that Buddhist Man, another Photoshop job by him? That was That's excellent. Right.
They said after party or pre-party at Carbone, they told me. Okay, NBA. So let's just clarify this. So the elimination games are tonight. So in other words, the loser of the 7-8 and the winner of the 9-10s from the other nights, they play tonight. Loser is done. So winner in the East, respectively in the West, will get Boston and OKC.
Both also dunzo.
Will be dunzo. in a best of seven. Okay, let's start there since you just said it that way. If I came to you from the future and I said, oh, Kelly, you were wrong about that. One of these eights beat one of these ones. Which is the eight that ends up beating the one?
The Pelicans beat the Thunder.
Because Zion shows up and they beat the Young Thunder.
Yeah.
Not Jimmy Butler shows up because it's going to be too many weeks where he's out.
I mean, it sounds like both of them are extended periods of time. I don't think we should plan on really seeing either of them.
Okay.
Although I also you know what? Yes, we know that it's supposed to be multiple weeks for Jimmy Butler. Like he did in that last game, though, I would see Jimmy Butler, but like he might miss a game.
If he showed up, you wouldn't be surprised.
It wouldn't be surprising at all.
I would just like I would have loved to have seen the Warriors playing OKC, which I'm sad that we don't get to see the olds against the youngs. I'm sad that we don't get to see Jimmy Butler again against the Celtics.
Okay, so the NBA side of my brain thinks the same thing. The better side of my brain, and I think I can speak for a lot of bettors out there, Warriors and Miami Heat, all the respect in the world to you. I am so glad I don't have to worry about you in this playoffs. That's the way I'm going to put it.
Because both teams flummox the hell out of you guys.
Yes.
Especially the Heat. When the Heat were beating the Sixers the other night, I would be lying to you if I told you that there weren't some texts flying around like, these NBA people will never get it about the Heat.
I said day after. It is. I mean, they were living rent free in the Sixers' head when they just played like a week and a half ago and saw the same zone.
It's amazing.
It was terrible.
And the Warriors would be the same on any given night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So no play in either of tonight's games.
Tonight I will be making one bet. Nick Whalen, I thought, had a great point on CJ McCollum. I'm going to play over his point prop. I think from what you saw the other night, you know Zion's going to be out. That was their best. That's the best form of their offense they had. Brandon Ingram couldn't get on the court. I still don't really know what that story is. Yes, they have some great other players that I'm not saying are good enough to be out there, but Brandon Ingram was not on the court during the closing minutes of a game to possibly clinch the seventh seed and get in the playoffs. I don't know what's going on there. This feels like a game against the Kings that McCollum's going to have to put this team on his back a bit.
And then of all the series that are already matched up, beginning tomorrow, we have four games. What a great day of NBA basketball tomorrow.
Yeah.
Beginning with Orlando-Cleveland, then Phoenix-Minnesota, then Philly-New York, then the Lakers and the Nuggets as the nightcap tomorrow night. That gives way to the Pacers and the Bucks and the Mavs and the Clippers on Sunday. What's your favorite bet in all of these?
Series-wise?
Series-wise.
Mavericks over the Clippers.
You have the Mavericks series, you have the Mavericks futures, West and title.
And game one. I have Mavericks game also one. Game one over the Clippers. That one not as big. I did take a bigger position on the series price when it first opened. I have plus money on it. I'd still play it at minus 125, though I laid a game and a half. I played them exactly to win 4-2 is what I did with the Mavericks. So played all of those. I do think the Sixers... Knicks situation is one of the most fascinating because you know I made the Sixers futures bets. Those were I made a little further back than when I made the Mavericks ones. But Nick, I thought he hit it dead on with what you're seeing. I do expect, regardless, you're getting two of the three best remaining teams in the Eastern Conference facing off in that series. But if Joel Embiid looks as hampered as he was the other night, the Knicks are too good. Like they are, and I have a pretty big bet game one. I didn't bet anything series-wise because if Embiid starts to look healthy, that's still the side I would lean to. Game one, though, I like the Knicks. I bet over on Jalen Brunson, points and assists for game one as well. I think if you're a braver man than me, some Joel Embiid unders make sense. But we were joking during a break. So many rebounds and easy points just fall to the guy. It's hard to bet unders too much. But Brunson... If the Knicks are smart, they're going to do this. It's going to be heavy. You're going to be a heavy pick and roll action. Get Joel Embiid involved on the defensive end and make him move on the defensive end of the ball. I think it's going to cause a lot of problems for the Sixers defense. I think Jalen Brunson has a big game. He's had big, big games this month already, so I expect that to continue.
It's a great time of year. NBA really playoffs begin in earnest tomorrow after the elimination games tonight. Jake Hahn will be here on Monday because the NHL will be in full playoff mode as well, so we'll go series by series there. And obviously the NFL draft on Thursday. We'll do a Beating the Book podcast on the NFL draft on Monday as well. Somebody's getting off his butt to do a podcast. That would be me. Andrew Didzik will join me. Hopefully Kelly Bidlin. We'll ask Kelly after the show if he wants to join us. Who knows? Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond after that. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.